So now let us share together in a reading from God's holy word. From the Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 10. And I'm going to add one more verse too. We're going to also read verse 11, because I think it's important here. So hear these words. I assure you that whoever doesn't enter into the sheep pen through the gate, but climbs over the wall, is a thief and an outlaw. The one who enters through the gate is a shepherd of the sheep. The guard at the gate opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Whenever he has gathered all of his sheep, he goes before them, and they follow him, because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger, but will run away, because they don't know the stranger's voice. Those who heard Jesus use this analogy, but didn't understand what he was saying. So Jesus spoke again, I assure you that I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and outlaws, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief enters only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came so that they could have life. Indeed, so that they could live life to the fullest, or other translations say abundantly. Verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. And so I think that those of us who have been involved in church for a long time, maybe even your entire life, this image is not an unfamiliar one to you. I think that we've all heard of Jesus being called the Good Shepherd. And this image not only makes sense for us today, but it especially made sense in his ancient context. But I think it's important that we've heard this terminology for Jesus being called the Good Shepherd over and over again, and I think it's important for us to really dive deep into it and understand it. And so first of all, I want us to look at what it means to be a shepherd. And what does it mean for Jesus to be the Good Shepherd? And then lastly, in our current context, in our contemporary culture, do we even need a shepherd ourselves? So let's get down to the beginning. Let's look at just what a shepherd is. A shepherd is defined in the dictionary as this way: a person who herds, tends, and guards sheep. That's the first part of the definition. But I think for our context, the second part of the definition perhaps is the most important part. A shepherd is someone who protects, guides, or watches over a person or a group of people. And so let's understand this shepherd image just a little bit more. And so first of all, to understand the importance of a shepherd, maybe we need to understand what shepherds herd. And shepherds herd sheep. And for those of you that don't know, sheep are actually pretty dumb. They are. I hate to say it, but they just are. You see, sheep are the sort that you have to guide them to do just about everything. You have to show them where to go to eat. You have to show them where to go to drink. You have to make sure that you keep them away from harm's way, whether that be through something as simple as falling into a ditch to something as dangerous to them as falling prey to a predator. We have to keep the sheep safe. That's what shepherds do. That's their primary role. And so the shepherds also have to make sure they guide the sheep in such a way that they don't pick a particular grassland or area clean. They have to make sure that they lead them to greener pastures when the time is right. You see, the shepherd is a really important person to the life of a sheep. You see, to a sheep, a shepherd is worth its weight in gold to them. And I think the truth of the matter is, too, that the shepherd also depends on the sheep. If a shepherd doesn't have sheep, he's not much of a shepherd, is he? You see, the shepherd depends on the sheep for wool, for food, and other things too. And so I think that we need to hold on to this image, that the shepherd is one who protects, guides, gives nurturance, gives sustenance to the sheep. I want us to hold on to that image. Next, I want us to look at how shepherds are viewed in the Bible. How do we understand shepherds in the ancient context? Well, one thing that you need to know about shepherds in ancient culture is that they were not held to very high regard at all. Shepherds were viewed as ragamuffins, low class, low life, people that most people looked down upon and scoffed at. You see, the truth of the matter is that most shepherds were actually homeless. They slept outside, looking amongst the stars. I think partially because shepherds didn't really have a lot of money, but the other part is that being a shepherd is actually a 24/7 job. You see, the predators don't stop stalking their prey when it becomes nighttime. The shepherd has to be vigilant at all times. And to make sure that the sheep always are finding green pasture, they have to lead them in a nomadic lifestyle. They had to go from place to place to place to make sure that the sheep had everything that they needed. So having their own homestead would have been a difficult thing to do. But knowing all of this to be true, knowing that shepherds were viewed in a pretty low way in the Bible, or not in the Bible, but in ancient culture, I think it's fascinating to see how shepherds are treated in the Bible. So that's where we're going to go first. How are they treated in the Bible? One of the first people that come to mind when I think about shepherds is King David. I don't know if you all knew this, but David started out his life as a shepherd. David was considered the runt of the litter. He was somebody that you would have never guessed in a million years would have been the king of all of Israel. The king that preceded him, King Saul, was a tall man. He was probably 6'3", 6'4", somewhere around there, maybe even taller than that. Everybody talked about how tall of a man he was, but here was King David. I'm not that tall of a man. He was probably shorter than me. But yet the Bible talks about how strong of a shepherd King David was, that he was able to keep the sheep safe from the lions. And so he used that same skill set to be able to slay Goliath with just a sling and a stone. And so this shepherd, King David, became ruler of all of Israel. And Jesus is, in fact, from the lineage of David, a shepherd. The other thing that I think it's important for us to know is that the Bible frequently uses a shepherd metaphor for us to understand our relationship with God. In Psalm 100, a short and beautiful psalm, it says this. It says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations." And so we are the Lord's sheep of his pasture. God is our shepherd who guides us and leads us. I think that I would be remiss as we think about what it means to have God as our shepherd if I didn't mention Psalm 23. I hope that had been rolling in your mind maybe as I was thinking about this. But I'm going to quote it to you in the King James Version, which probably most of you already know. And if you want to say it along with me, you sure can. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He guideth me along the right paths for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." We're going to stop right there. You hear those words. I don't think it's much plainer than that. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. God provides for us. In the same way the shepherd provides for the sheep, God provides for us. If we lead, if we walk the path that God asks us to walk, he leads us to the green pastures. He leads us beside the peaceful and still waters. He restores our souls if we seek him. He guides us along the right paths. And even though we go through storms, even though we go through the darkest hours of our lives, God is with us and he walks beside us. This psalm promises us that. As we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil because God is with us, and his rod and his staff comfort us. I think those words are powerful too. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Because when you think about a shepherd, we often think about the shepherd's crook, right? The staff that they hold. You see, that crook does a lot of different things. One thing that the crook does is that it keeps the sheep in line. They know that when the staff comes out, they need to listen. They know that sometimes that staff can be used to corral the sheep back in. You see, a staff represents discipline. It represents order. It represents the way that the world needs to be. And the truth of the matter is that we need boundaries in our lives. We need to know that there are limits and things that we should and should not do. And we know that God's rod and staff given to us in his word, those words that give us life, should be a source of comfort and peace to us. Knowing that God has given us the ways that we should live and lead our lives. And so now I think this leads us to our scripture passage. Jesus is having a conversation with the Pharisees. The Pharisees are trying to understand who Jesus is, but also they're trying to trip him up. They're trying to see if they can trick him into saying something he's not supposed to say. But Jesus is trying to explain to them who he is. And so he says this, and he tries to give them an image that they can relate to, the image of the shepherd. And so he says, "Verily, truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief or a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out." You see, the truth is that we know that the way to salvation is through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the gate to enter into the kingdom of heaven. John 14 and verse 6 says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the way of salvation. The gate of heaven has been opened because Jesus sacrificed his life. He died on a cross to save us from the sins of the world. He bore that burden. How ironic that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is also called the Lamb of God, that he lowered himself to that of a slave, of a simple human being, to die on a cross, to open up the gate of heaven, and to save us from sin. And so verses 4 and 5 extend this metaphor. It says, "When he has brought us all out to his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice." And you know, I did some research, and this is actually true of sheep. Sheep will only listen to the voice of the shepherd that they know. They'll only take orders from that shepherd. And so how beautiful and how wonderful would it be if we truly knew the Father's voice as it speaks to our lives? How amazing would our lives be if we only listened to the voice of the Father, of the Lord God, as he speaks wisdom and he breathes life into us. And here we go with these hard-headed Pharisees. They still don't understand what Jesus was saying, and so he speaks to them as plainly as possible. He says, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I come that they may have life and have it abundantly." I want to share with you a very interesting thing about shepherds that I didn't know until I did some research. That whenever the sheep went in and out of the sheep pen, what the shepherds would do in ancient culture is that they would stand in front, like the gate. And as the sheep would come, the shepherds would feel every sheep as it went into the gate to look for any wounds or blemishes. Anything that might have caused harm to the sheep, the shepherds would take care of it with every single sheep as it went into the pen. I think that Jesus used this metaphor, I am the gate, for a reason. Because he knew that truth. He knew that because Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that is a healing grace. It heals us from the wounds of sin. It heals us from the wounds that the slings and arrows of life can bring. Jesus heals us through the power of salvation. He heals us through his grace and gives us this gift of eternal life. Jesus truly is the gate of love and hope, salvation, and eternal life in heaven. But you know, here's the truth of the matter. I think that we live in a day and age where people think that there's no need of a shepherd. People think that they can do things on their own. They think that they don't have to serve anybody but themselves. But the truth of the matter is that we all serve something, whether we believe it or not. Bob Dylan, one of the great poets and sages of our time, wrote a song called Everybody's Gotta Serve Somebody. And the chorus of the song says this, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. You see, the devil would love for us to serve anything but the Lord. For the addict, drugs are their God. For the person who worships wealth, money is their God. For the person who wants the spotlight at all cost, fame is their God. But the truth of the matter is that these things are fleeting and temporary, and worshiping them leads to destruction. But I don't know about you, but knowing that I have to serve somebody, I'm going to go ahead and quote Joshua 24, verse 15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It is my sincerest hope and prayer that you will embrace Jesus, the good shepherd, with all of your heart. Jesus has made the path that leads us to life, to joy, to abundant living. That good shepherd will lead us to the green pastures. He'll lead us beside the still waters and lead us to the way that leads to life. Jesus has opened the gate wide open for all of us. Jesus is greeting us with open arms of joy to heal us, to restore us, to love us, and to forgive us. Will you pray with me? Lord, we remember and we take seriously today that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Jesus meant what he said when he said that he would lay down his life for the sheep. Jesus died upon a cross. He died a sinner's death. To open the gates of heaven wide open. All we have to do is confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ is the Lord of our lives, that he saved us from our sins, and this gift of eternal life is ours. So let us walk beside the Good Shepherd. Let us walk the path that leads to life. Let us serve him faithfully, joyfully, knowing that Jesus yearns for us to have a deeper and intimate relationship with him. Lord God, as you speak to us, let us hear your voice. Let us welcome you. Let us receive you. Let us serve you with all the joy that we have in our hearts. It's in Jesus' holy name that we all pray together. Amen.